Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, The Metaphysical World and More. Today, my guest is Brooks Palmer, and it's a little different of a show, but in reality, it is not. And as we get into the show and I talk with Brooks, you'll find out why I'm saying that. So, Brooks, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. Hi, everybody.
But I tell people, you know, what I just told them is because when we talk about what you do, they're going to go, well, what does that have to do with metaphysical stuff? But, Brooks, first let's have you tell the people a little bit about yourself so they kind of know who, you know, they're listening to and who I'm talking with. And then I'll ask you some questions, okay?
Sure, absolutely, definitely. So basically what I do is I am a clutter buster. So I help people get rid of clutter in their homes and their offices. And clutter, for me, is basically anything that's no longer serving you is no longer part of your life. And maybe at some point it was a part of your life, and maybe it never was, but the main thing is it's in the way. And what I found working with people for like 7 years is that when they let this clutter go, you know, once they realize it's clutter and they actually let it go, then it allows new and better things to come into their life. And it's amazing the things that are waiting in line to come to be part of your life, you know, once the clutter's gone. It's just incredible. You know?
Now, Brooks, when you talk about clutter, I'm going to go a little bit back before that because you spent a lot of your time. First of all, you're very strong, you have strong intuition.
Yeah.
You know, so you've also spent some of your time, you know, the practice of spiritual and shamanic healing.
Yes.
So in that process, do you think that when it comes to clutter, when people are trying to even heal themselves, if they have that clutter there, does that take some of the energy that they should be using for themselves away?
You mean the clutter being there in our life? Taking some of their energy away?
Yeah.
Well, it does. It does. It limits your capability, and it reduces your clarity. And with those things gone, you're going to have more of a tendency to make mistakes. Mistakes meaning things that cause problems in your life that require a lot of time to clean up, you know. And it's funny because, you know, we're encouraged to buy a lot of things or obtain a lot or to have a lot of stuff as a way of being happier, you know? Like, you know, because we're raised on TV and commercials and radio that you know, basically want to sell us products to make us, you know, happier. And the thing is, things don't really innately make us happy, you know? It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy things, but we're kind of conditioned to believe that we need things to feel better. And what ends up happening is we have way too much, and it causes a lot of chaos to have things that aren't useful to you in your life. They just seem to create this energy that's discordant, that makes it hard to think clearly, that makes it hard to sleep, keeps people agitated and stressed. And what I notice is when people let these things go, they start to feel better automatically, like they get the things they wanted from buying those things, by letting things go, you know. So,
and people are probably going, oh, I don't understand that. But, you know, I tend to agree with you because, like, I do a lot of readings. And one of the biggest things that I find with people is that they really don't want to let go of the past.
No, they don't, no.
And not wanting to let go of the past, I think, would also be predominant with people who have a lot of clutter.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I think people are very nostalgic in certain ways, you know. And again, nothing's bad comprehensively. Like there are good things, and from one person to another, you know, it can vary what's good and what's not good for them. But to be stuck in the past, it's really common and it's really easy to do because what ends up happening is, like, change is happening all the time. And people tend to be very resistant to change, you know, but you can't stop it. It happens all the time. Even our cells and our body change all the time. The environment changes. So a lot of times by hanging on to stuff, people sometimes feel like it gives them some stability, but it actually just creates more delusion and more illusion, you know, and you get lost in that. And it can be intoxicating. Like, clutter can be like a drug. And it has a way of, you know, diminishing reality.
Mm-hmm.
But which can be very alluring if you're very overwhelmed. And a lot of people are overwhelmed, you know. It's natural to want to protect yourself when you're overwhelmed. But I feel like my purpose is to help people realize that clutter is not contributing to their life. It actually hurts it. And this is a simple way, an immediate way, to start to help yourself, you know. And on a spiritual level, it's amazing. It's when you release old energy, how new energy automatically flows into there. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, because again, like when I, you know, when I'm doing the readings and stuff, some of the things that tend to hold people back are their, you know, their wanting not to let go of stuff or hold on to things. Which, again, you know, I might start asking the people, you know, you have a lot of clutter in your house. You might want to start uncluttering your house, and then maybe you can unclutter your emotions.
Yeah, well, it's a good way of starting that in. And you know, I'm hoping that, you know, like, by you and I talking about this, that everybody that's listening to this right now, they start to kind of question some of the things in their house. And for all the listeners out there, I just start to recommend that as we're talking about this, if you, something starts to come in your head, like, you know, I wonder about that old jacket that I never wear, or, you know, these particular books, or whatever, something that starts popping in your head, and start questioning, like, well, is this something that's really important to me? Or, you know, if I was in the store today, would I buy that? But I actually read that thing or wear it, and that's a good way to just to start the process. And it has a way of, there's a momentum built into it. By just starting, it accelerates and takes care of itself.
When people are having a hard time with the relationship and say they get out of the relationship, do you find that a lot of times with the emotions that are attached to that relationship, that people at that particular point either want to hold on things more, or are they just so upset and stuff they just want to, like, get rid of everything?
It's funny. It's all kinds of different reactions, you know. I do recommend after someone has a relationship that's over, letting go of the things that were part of it, you know. If it was a very difficult ending, you know, and if having those things around just keeps you sad or depressed, I recommend letting them go, you know. But there's different, you know, some people are able to just let things go, and some it's a little bit harder for. So, if that answers your question.
No, it does. For children, for their, like, say their rooms, their bedrooms or whatever, is clutter a way of having their energy kind of rigid in different categories, do you think?
But how do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
Well, like, if a child's room, let's say a child's room has just bunches of books all over everything, and bunch of toys all over everything, and, you know, bunches of things all over their bed. You know, do you think that some of the children's energy, because of that clutter, is also, you know, a little bit different than if it actually wasn't cluttered?
Well, are you saying, like, that stuff should go, or are you questioning whether...
Well, maybe, you know, fix so that it's not so cluttered, or, you know, it's so it's, like, not laying all over everything.
Well, what I found with kids, it's really hard to kids, like, it's, you can't really control kids, you know, and they'll leave stuff all over the place. I mean, a lot of people I work with have kids, and their toys are everywhere, you know, and what I find is just, it's good to go through the toys and just, like, sift them out, see which ones they don't play with anymore, you know, and you know, I think an adult could do that for their child, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've sat down and worked with kids sometimes, and I just go through stuff with them. I go, well, do you like playing with this anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because if not, we can give it to some kids that don't have toys. And that would be really nice, you know? And then when you just talk to kids at a matter-of-fact level, they, you know, they'll let stuff go. The thing that to avoid is if you're working with kids, like your own kids, to avoid going like, you know, okay, well, we have to do this, and you don't need this, you know? But just treating them like, you know, they're adults, and asking them what they need and what they don't need,
mm-hmm,
can be good.
Because a lot of times when you walk into a kid's bedroom, and you're right, they just kind of have stuff all over the place. They seem to know where it's at. You could never tell by looking at it, but they tend to know. But I was just wondering about the energy with the kids, if you've noticed anything, because a lot of the kids today, their energy is very high, very active, and, you know, they got to have something to do or they're bored, or, you know, and they don't, in a lot of people's opinion, they may not focus as well. But in reality, they probably focus better than we do. We just don't know that. So to have a child's bedroom, like, totally clutter-free, I think might freak them out more than if they got to have some messes around.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to do that. I think kids are delicate and they're sensitive and you know, it's in some ways you have to let them do what they want to do, and at the same time kind of weed out stuff here and there, you know, and but they, you know, they have a certain way of thinking that's much different than adults, and the adults, you know, they it's like this has a place and this doesn't have a place. And you know, kids, they don't think like adults, so sometimes trying to do that could backfire, you know. The kid could resist it or be angry or, you know. And but I think you can tell them. I remember once I was working with this lady, and she told me later she went home to visit her granddaughter, and she told her granddaughter, she said, I was working with the Clutterbuster, you know, and granddaughter said, what's a Clutterbuster? She said, well, it's somebody that helps you let go of stuff you don't need anymore. So the little girl, she just, on her own, just started picking out toys that she didn't want anymore. And she goes, I don't want these anymore. You know, I don't play with them anymore, you know. So maybe just introducing the idea could allow kids to let something go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be important for kids, because otherwise, by the time that they reach, say, adulthood, they're going to have a lot of stuff that they're probably holding on to that they don't need any more than, you know, the adults that when they, you know, their parents were adults. And I think introducing it to children at a younger age probably is a pretty good idea.
That's a great idea. Actually, introducing the idea of it would be good. And that, what I've learned, too, is oftentimes when adults are doing it for themselves, their kids automatically start doing it for themselves sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. They're in another room and they'll do it. But I think just telling them, like, oh, yeah, today I got rid of stuff, you know, and the idea that, like, that concept of, oh, yeah, sometimes things are no longer useful, you know, you don't want to use them anymore, so we just let them go, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if they learn by what the adults do.
Which is pretty important. Now, 7 years ago is kind of when you started the Clutterbusters, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Before that time, how did you feel about things being cluttered? Did it bother you? Did it get you nervous?
Well, that's a good question. I naturally clutter-busted things for myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, though, I was really sloppy. I remember, like, I would have my clothes on the floor, and, like, they carpeted the whole floor. I never put them anywhere, like, in one place. And my mom used to yell at me, and it didn't make me any different. You know, mm-hmm. I just stayed messy. And then I remember I went to art school in college, and they told us that if you had a clean surface that you worked on, that it's really easy for ideas to flow from that. So everything shifted. I just started, you know, kind of tidying things up and letting things go that I didn't need. And then I started doing it for friends over the years, and it was really helpful with them. It was just fun to do. And my friends suggested I do it for an occupation, you know, and it just happened. I put up flyers and people started calling me right away.
That's cool.
So it was a natural progression.
Mm-hmm. And you also wrote a book.
Yeah, I wrote a book. And
do you want to tell them the title of your book?
Pardon me?
Do you want to tell them the title of your book?
Oh, sure. The book is called Are You Buried in Clutter? The Definitive Guide to Clutter Busting, which I sell on my website as an ebook, clutterbusting.com, ING, like clutterbusting. And so basically the book is like, it's really good. It's got everything in it because I talk about clutter and what clutter is. So, and I write it in a way that's very like simple and intuitive so that when people read it, it makes them start looking at their own life, you know, and they just start thinking like, oh, I understand what clutter is. And, oh, I can see how I've got clutter here or there, you know, because clutter is different for everybody. Like, somebody's going to have a garage that's full, but then somebody else may have a clean garage. But that person, maybe they're cluttered up with too many activities in their life, you know, mm-hmm. and they're overwhelmed in that area. And So clutter can take so many different forms. Sometimes people can be clutter. And so by reading it, people get the feeling like they get a personal understanding of what clutter is. And then I put a lot of examples, like 30 or so different stories of clutter busts that I worked on with people. And I put in principles of clutter busting within those stories. So I think people learn by watching others, you know, see how others behave and how others get through problems. So, and then there's some examples and there are things you can do on your own. But it's very encouraging and it's really important when people are working through their own clutter to be nice to themselves. Because when I get to people's houses, oftentimes they feel really guilty or ashamed, you know. Mm-hmm. They're like really, they're going, I'm so ashamed to have you in my house. Mm-hmm. And I have no judgment, you know, so it's like, I go, well, I don't see you as a clutterer. I just see you as, you know, this is a habit that you picked up. And then they start to feel better. And once people start being nicer to themselves and relaxing, they can get themselves out of difficult situations. So the book is a really good way of making people relax about the situation and find creative solutions. Because there's no one solution, but this allows people to come up with their own. And so I think people like it. I mean, people that have been reading it have been getting rid of a lot of clutter as a result of it. So.
Like I go out and I do a lot of reading parties for people. And some of the houses are huge houses and some of them are normal, everyday houses. And it amazes me how these huge houses, and the person may be working, both, you know, the man and woman may be working, but their house usually looks spotless. You know, and I've often wondered if they weren't having a party like this where everybody was coming, would this house look actually that spotless being as big as it is?
I'm sorry, repeat that last part.
And so, you know, I've often wondered with, you know, both people working, you know, if this lady or the couple was not having a party, if that house would be, you know, as spotless if nobody was coming than if it is when they have this party.
Oh, well, maybe they cleaned it up, you know, because they knew people were coming over. I mean, that's very common. Sometimes a lot of the rooms in the house will look good, and then one or two of them will just be completely filled or really messy. But also, too, it's possible that your house can look really neat and orderly and still have clutter in it, you know. I mean, I remember working with this lady once. She had in her office... She had two really big closets in the office. So, you know, she had her desk in this office and her chair and a little filing cabinet. But the closets were completely filled with clothes. And they were very orderly, like they're all put in there. But it was so tight that you couldn't even pull an item out. It was that difficult. So, you know, I asked her about it, and she goes, well, no, I went through this the other day. I pulled out, like, three or four things. But I went through everything with her. You know, I asked her, like, do you still wear this? Do you like this? And, you know, asked her real basic questions. And when we were done, she got rid of, like, half the clothes and gave them to charity. And you wouldn't have known it just by looking at it. You just would have said, well, she's got lots of clothes, but they're all put away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really good to, like, really question things. You know, because I think a lot of times we associate clutter with, like, just messy, like things piled up. But sometimes things that are really neatly put away can be clutter, too. You know?
When you go to do the cluttering busting of somebody's house, do you do every room or is it only certain rooms?
It depends. Sometimes someone will hire me to do their whole house. But sometimes it's just their office or their bedroom, you know, or the garage. And then sometimes they ask me to come to do one particular room, and then after taking a quick tour of the whole house, I suggest another room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it can be hard to see your own clutter, and because you're used to seeing it every day, and you don't think of it as clutter, you know. And so by having that, you know, myself as an outside observer, you know, with a little bit of broader perspective, because it's not my stuff, I can see where there might be a problem that they don't recognize, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you go out and you also do talks about the clutter busting.
Yeah, I do. I've spoken to companies and yoga centers and businesses and different places like that, yeah.
Now, is that all over, or is it just, like, close by you?
Well, I've been sent to different places, like Chicago or Indianapolis or New York. Right now I'm living in Los Angeles, but so I've been flown to different places to give talks. And, you know, and I vary it, whether it's a half hour or a couple hours, you know, based on the need. And but I've spoken to, like, you know, in people's homes also, too. So whatever situation, it's clutter's universal. So whether it's in an office or, you know, somebody's home, I think anybody could relate to it.
Oh,
and if people ask so many questions, it's amazing. It's like at the end, everybody's like got their hand raised, and they because they have questions about their own stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the awareness is really strong now in this culture that there's a problem with clutter, and people really want solutions, you know. So they're thirsty for information.
When these people are asking you questions, is there one question that is usually pretty common amongst everybody?
Sometimes they'll tell their specific situation, you know, and you can tell they sound very. Most of the time, everybody sounds overwhelmed. It's like I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really stuck, you know. And it's amazing, like just asking 3 or 4 questions, people start to get unstuck. And so it's really just, you know, getting a different viewpoint on the things that you have in your home. And again, it's like the reasons we were talking before, people feel that they get stability by hanging on to things, you know, or they feel like if they keep things or they have things, there's inherent happiness in the things, you know. And meanwhile, they're really unhappy, you know, because of the clutter. So it takes away all this importance that's placed on things.
Mm-hmm.
And that pressure that comes from that, and just that recognition that nothing is really sacred, you know. I mean, again, it doesn't mean you sit in a room with nothing in it, but nothing is more important than you are, you know, your happiness. So if something's causing you sadness or sorrow or depression just by having it around, you start to question, like, what's more important, you know, my happiness or having this thing, you know. It's funny, too, a lot of times people go, like, once they recognize it's clutter, they go, but I spent so much money on it, like, they still don't want to get rid of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but again, once these things go, the main thing is, once they go, I've seen so many people's lives change around because it allows things to open up and new things to come in. And a lot of times, those new things that come into our life are better than we can imagine, you know.
Usually that's the case.
That's usually the case because, I just recognize that a lot of times the things that happen to us, some of the best things that happen to us were never things that we looked for or wanted. And sometimes there are things that we didn't want, you know. And so we're not always the best judge of what we want. You know, usually it's based on some deep need that's unresolved. So the things that come to us when we let go of the clutter are things that are naturally better for us, that are going to make us feel better in the long run.
What about, like, family pictures? Say that some people have a lot of family pictures up, and it reminds them, in a sad way, of some of the things that's gone on in their family. Has anybody ever asked you if they should keep them or take them down?
You mean pictures on the wall or photo books?
Both.
Well, I've gone through photos with people, and if something makes somebody sad, I just assume to let it go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pictures on the wall are things in a photo album. It's mostly like what makes you feel good, what makes you feel full or happy, you know. You don't have to be ecstatic, like dancing on the table happy, but what makes you feel generally happy when you see it on the wall. And I have this theory, too, that, well, I think it's reality that once something's been on the wall or sitting on the table for a while, you don't notice it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes background and other things take precedence. So it's good to look at your stuff and either take it down and put something else in its place, or maybe don't put anything up for, you know, a little while. But it's good to go through stuff, and because something could be could not be clutter for a while, and then they could become clutter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, maybe it's not important to you anymore, but it was for 2 years. Yeah. So by kind of like the same way you would vacuum your floors regularly, you can clutter bus regularly, you know.
Okay. Same holds true, then, I would imagine, for books. A lot of people have many, many books, and they may have already read them and probably have not read them, you know, in 5 or 6 years. So do you usually recommend that they put those books away or, you know, give them away or maybe put them in different places?
Books, that's really great that you brought that up. And books are really common clutter. I mean, that doesn't mean books are clutter. Some are really good. But they can be easily be clutter. And you're right. A lot of people could have a book and not have read it for a bunch of years. And I think that, I know it's really good to let them go, the clutter, because if you have something for 5 or 6 years and you haven't read it, chances are you're not going to read it, you know. And I think sometimes by buying books and having a lot of stuff, we feel like we've gained something, but if it's just sitting there and it's not being used, it's in the way of something else that's going to be a benefit to you, something more beneficial. And, you know, if it's already been read, it's funny, like sometimes people hang on to books even though they've read them, and they don't reread the books, so they kind of just sit there, you know. And I feel by letting them go, it allows new information to come in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, maybe you bought something 2 years ago and you really wanted to read it, but now you don't want to read it anymore. And that's okay. You just kind of go, all right, I wanted to read it, but now I don't want to, you know. You don't have to feel badly about anything you've ever bought or anything you've hung on to. It's just, it's a recognition of, oh, this isn't part of my life anymore. And, or if you've already read it, it's like, it's honoring the book. It's like, wow, I read you and I really got a lot out of it. And then they can be donated to a library, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Libraries, it's great because, you know, that allows other people to read the book. Or sometimes they have book sales, so it helps the library, you know, bring in more money, which libraries are very beneficial to a lot of people. So you really want to kind of have a flow going in your home, you know. It's like when its use is gone, to let it go. It's kind of like a refrigerator. It's like when the food's fresh, it's important for it to be there. But if, you know, once it starts to get old, you don't want it in the fridge anymore, you know. And your life's the same way. It doesn't matter what age you are. I've worked with people up into their 90s, and your life is always vibrant. New things can always come into your life. So, definitely.
Yeah, could you do me a favor, Brooks, and give out your website for the listeners, please?
Sure. It's clutterbusting.com. It's CLUTTERBUSTING. And yeah, it'd be great if you took a look at it. There's video of me actually doing clutterbusting for people. And I think that would be very encouraging to watch because you can see me in action. And you can it'll help everybody that's listening. And it'd be great, too, if everybody, you know, just by listening to this, you were able to do some clutter busting. And you can email me and tell me how it went because I always like to hear stories about people letting go and moving forward, you know. And if you want to buy the book, it's available on there, too. And as I said before, the book's... It's very compact. It's got all the good stuff in it, and you don't need a lot of information. You know, just need a little bit of information and encouragement. And it's amazing how your life can shift. It's not a big effort.
When somebody's bedroom is real cluttered, do you think that kind of interrupts their sleep somewhat?
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad you brought up bedrooms. They're a real big problem for a lot of people, and it's amazing, like, people's nightstands next to their bed are often very cluttered with books and papers and mail and a bunch of different things, and then oftentimes underneath people's beds are things that are just, they're very clogged too, you know, and bedrooms are, I think people take all their problems with them to bed sometimes, you know, it feels like that, and so what I do when I work with people is, and I encourage everybody at home listening to this, to just really look at your bedroom because that's the place where you can really recover after, no matter what happened during the day. And the less distractions there are, the deeper the sleep that you're going to get. And a deep sleep will allow you to recover and have more clarity the next day. So first off, I recommend nothing underneath the bed, unless it's like linens or something like that, or winter clothes, and they're in some kind of container. But no books or papers or, you know, electronics or anything like that. Just keep it really simple. And I would keep the bedsides simple too, you know. Oftentimes I've seen people stack books there, you know, and they want to read. So all that does is, like, you wake up in the morning and you see a big stack of books, you know, and you haven't got to. So keeping that really simple and elegant, you know, simplify whatever that means for you, you know. So those are the first two things to look at. And then you don't want to, I encourage people not to have their office in their bedroom, you know, like their computer and their desk in there, because that has a lot of activity energy around it, and which can be very difficult when you're sleeping to have a deeper sleep. And if, you know, if that's the only room you have, like if you're in a studio, maybe there's some creative ways you could deal with it. But if it doesn't have to be there, I would recommend it not being there. You know?
Mm-hmm. See, I tend to agree with that, because there is a lot of activity with anything that's electrical in your room anyway. And
yeah.
I don't think people realize that.
Well, there's, I forget what it's called, but the energy that comes off of electronic devices, like TVs and computers and such, even when they're not turned on, when they're plugged in, they still emit this energy, which is a kind of discordant energy. And, you know, you have to deal with that during the day because there's so much electricity around. But when you're sleeping at night, what I started doing was I unplug the TV in my bedroom when I go to sleep at night, that and the VCR and the DVD player. And all of a sudden the room just gets so much more peaceful. It's an instantaneous thing that I noticed. So and then I just plug it in, you know, when I want to use it.
Mm-hmm. Are colors real important in the rooms?
Are what, I'm sorry?
Colors, different colors.
It depends on the person, you know. Somebody, red's going to have a different effect on one person than another, but I think colors that make you feel happy and that you really enjoy are important.
Okay. I don't think people realize that color actually can make them feel good or not feel good.
Yeah. It's very powerful in the colors. And, I think it's important to have the colors that mean something to you, you know. And whether it's the carpet or the wallpaper or the paint or the, you know, the bedspread that you have in a room or whatever, It's definitely important to have colors that that please you, you know.
Do you think that feng shui can also help people once they get rid of their clutter?
It depends, you know. Depends. There's different kinds of feng shui, and I know getting rid of clutter is an aspect of feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that before, if you're going to do feng shui, I would definitely get rid of the clutter first. So that the energy at least has an opportunity to flow through the house. The idea is with feng shui that the flow is, it maintains that flow at all times so that you feel good being in the house. And then it's up to a person whether they want to work with the feng shui. I know some people that have gotten a lot of benefit,
mm-hmm.
and some people that get stuck in it, you know. And so I think it depends on the practitioner. And the main thing is if you try something, if you feel like doing something, go in that direction. And if you notice it's not working, then then it's clutter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this lady, she had this this one corner of her room, which was like a relationship corner, and that she'd read in a book that was, you know, about feng shui. And so she had a little statuette of a man and a woman and a heart, you know, and different things. And it looked pretty, you know, it was very nice. But it had a heavy feeling about it. My clutter radar was just telling me that this, you know, is possibly clutter. And when she talked about it, she just felt really uncomfortable, you know. So I asked her how long she had it up there, and she said 2 years, you know. And she hadn't had any new relationships. And so, you know, there's a point where you just got to go, all right, this isn't working, you know. Otherwise, it's a constant reminder that you don't have a relationship. That was what it was like for her, you know. So the question is it, if it works or not, you know. And again, for some people, feng shui will be good for them, and others maybe not. I think it's what you're drawn to. mm-hmm. without being told. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like sometimes like people will say, you have to do this, you've got to do this, and then you do it because they mention it to you. But if you just have this sense, like, I want to try this on your own, I think it's worth following.
Mm-hmm. See, the intuitive part of everybody that comes so easily that people don't want to believe,
yeah,
they tend to rethink everything over and over again, where if they would just trust that first feeling, which is kind of what you're talking about, they would know really that what feels really good for them and what doesn't.
Yeah, that's the ideal, of course. I think it's hard. I think we're so encouraged to think a lot in our society, you know, and we end up overthinking a lot. I mean, it's just really common. I was at the bookstore today, and I was walking by this the nonfiction area, and there were so many books about how to do certain things, and how, I mean, it just felt so overwhelming, you know, and I think thinking's good, you know, thinking has its place, but once we start overthinking about stuff, then the intuition aspect diminishes, you know, and the intuition's much simpler, but again, it's like we're living in a society that is not very intuitive, so it's not encouraged a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think this, like a show that you're doing, is a good thing because it encourages people to start trusting themselves and become more self-reliant in their own feelings. And that's one of the main reasons I do clutter busting, is to help people become self-reliant again and make decisions about based on what they feel.
Mm-hmm. If people would really just trust that first gut feeling, it comes so easily, and 99.9% it's so right.
That's the big if, right?
Yeah, and I tell people that, like when I'm doing the readings, I said, you know, do you trust your intuition? Well, do you listen to it? Well, no. It's like,
probably
well,
not. But
why
you know,
not?
Again, we're not encouraged to as a society, and it's a very powerful conditioning, you know. We're like, these people are experts, you know, or, these, you know, we always... people love to tell us what to do, you know, love to give advice in the mm-hmm. sense of this is the right thing to do or this is the wrong thing to do. And so it's hard to start thinking on your own. And you're right. It's like there's that subtle feeling that's correct, you know. And I think while you're talking about it, you're mentioning it, and everybody hearing this, it's like, you know, what do you feel? Everybody, you know, there's always another opinion, but what do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And it may go against what other people say. And sometimes people get angry when you do something that they don't want you to do. You know?
Yeah, I get a lot of that too. You know, but I it's really important because, you know, when people go on your website, they're going to read your bio. And your bio talks about how, you know, your intuition has been there for a long, long time, very young age. And which everybody's is. But again, because we are in a think, make it logical society, we're not thinking that we can make it logical unless we think. So I call it the stinking thinking. That
stinking
most
thinking?
Do. Stinking thinking.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny.
You know, and it really is, because a lot of people, just like you said just a few minutes ago, they think and they rethink and they end up overthinking things. And by the time they make a choice, they have themselves so confused that usually the choice doesn't work as well or not at all.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's a cycle, and I figured like 98% of the people are in that, you know, so when I'm talking to people when I'm out and about, I generally assume that there are lots of thinking going on, you know. So sometimes I try to joke with people or just to get them out of that or be more playful. I mean, those are good ways of doing that. I mean, if you think too much about how to not think, then you'll probably just keep thinking, you know. So
that
like,
would be true.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, a lot of my clients have a lot of self-help books, and that just to me means there's too much thinking about how to not think, you know. So it doesn't mean, I mean, there are some good books, and maybe a few are good, but I think it comes back to, like, you know, what makes you feel playful, what makes you generally happy, you know, what's something simple that you like to do. I remember I was working with this couple, and their garage was filled with so many pieces of sporting goods equipment, you know, different ways to exercise, and they'd spent thousands and thousands of dollars on it, and they had such a hard time, you know, even thinking about letting any of that go because of how much money they spent on it, the confusion. Mm-hmm. And I just asked them, well, what do you do for exercise? And you know, they felt they weren't doing anything. So I realized they had two dogs, and they said they took the dogs for two walks every day. And I asked them how long they went on the walk for, and they go, well, we walked for like about an hour, you know, and in the morning and in the evening. So I said, well, that sounds like your exercise program right there, you know. And they realized, yeah, because they're walking these little paths, and and they do it twice a day, and it's walking is great exercise, you know. And I said, well, then you don't need these other things because you already got an exercise program. And you have to do it every day because your dogs, you know, they demand it. So they realized that, and it was simple, you know. And they weren't they let go of that idea, like these are all the things that they have to do. And so it's kind of like, well, what are some simple things in your life? Just reacquainting yourself with that. And what are some fun things that you like to do? And that starts to allow intuition to come back in.
Which, again, I think is really important. See, you sound like it comes very easy for you, even though you may not have thought so, you know, at different times. But it does come very easy because you are giving out the right, you know, the right questions, you're getting the right answers by using your intuition.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're helping the people not to think so much because, like you said, you've made it very simple. And, you know, that goes to that other statement, that KISS statement, keep it simple, okay?
All right. Yeah.
People can relate to that a lot better than, okay, well, you got to do this and you got to do that, and you have this whole list of stuff to do, and by the time they get done with half the list, it's like, oh, man, don't bother, you know?
Yeah, I know. Once you have a list of something, then it could be a problem, you know? And again, it's simpler than that, you know? But if there's a lot of momentum built behind thinking and overdoing, and so maybe the simplicity factor may not come in right away, but the stuff we're talking about today and just thinking about what you can let go, it's like little simple things that lead you in a really good direction. And you don't know where that direction is going to take you, but chances are whatever direction you're in right now, there something's bothering you or something's not working. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some simple little things I could do now? That's a good question to think, you know. And maybe that just means sitting down, going through your closet. Or maybe that just means, you know, taking a break and going for a walk. Whatever comes. But I'm hoping that by talking about this stuff that we're talking about today in a simple way, it encourages everybody to start thinking for themselves again, you know. And seeing what comes up. You know, it can be pretty interesting.
Is there a phone number that people can contact you at?
Yeah, they can reach me at 310-903-1041.
And that's on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so why don't you give out your website again, please?
Sure, it's clutterbusting.com, CLUTTERBUSTING. And the email's on there, too. They can email me if they want to. And I feel like I've dedicated my life to helping people with this, so I'm always open to encouraging and helping. And I've seen, like, the worst situations of people where people were just completely buried alive in their stuff. And I've seen them let go of those things that were causing them so much pain. So I really believe in everybody's ability to let go of their clutter and really appreciate what they have, or allow in new things that are going to benefit them.
See, I think it's real important, books, that the first step is realizing that they have clutter, because like you said, a lot of people, they didn't even realize it.
Yeah, you really don't. It's hard to recognize what's clutter. And it's funny, I had somebody come to my house to do clutter busting for me, and I just said, and they were a feng shui person, I asked them to look through everything, and as they go through everything, just ask me whether this is important to me or not. And if I hesitated to, like, keep asking me until I got rid of it, because I usually assume if somebody, like, you know, if you had a $100 bill on your table and somebody goes, do you need that? You go, yeah, you know. Or, you know, I mean, that's just a real basic one. But if there's this feeling like if somebody asks you, do you need that? And you go, yes. It's a real easy answer. But if you go, do you still like this? And you go, oh, I don't know. You know, making that sound, you know, or looking sort of off-center, you know. then, you know, it's clutter. So I had all these old poetry books that I had written like 10, maybe 15 years ago, and I hadn't looked at them in a lot, you know, a bunch of years. And once they asked me that, I started hesitating, you know. And they were just written. They were kind of like journal books. And I just realized, like, when I started looking at them, I just started feeling very tired, you know. And I was thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I've got some clutter like this, you know. That doesn't mean poetry books or journals are clutter for people, but these particular ones were for me, you know. And it was hard for me to let it go, and then I realized I can't really ask people to let stuff go unless I let stuff go that's not part of me anymore. So I did. I let it go. And a half hour later, I got a call from CBS News. And somebody I knew told someone over there about what I do, you know, like a year or so ago. And so I get this call from them a half hour after I let this go. And they go, you know what, we're trying to figure out, you know, what we want to shoot for next week for a special. Your name, well, you just popped in our heads, you know. Can we follow you on a clutter bus and put it on the air, you know? And I said, yeah, definitely. And so I figured that was from letting go of those books, you know, because it just sort of all coincided together. And it was a really nice present, you know. It was great because it was like a three-minute segment on the news, and I think a lot of people got to learn about clutter and got more clients out of it. And so a lot of good things came from it, from something that I wasn't using anymore, you know. I let something go.
Do you think, Brooks, after somebody does something like, you know, they're clutter busting, that they should then at least reward themselves in some way?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to do, rewarding yourself. You can reward yourself for making it through the day, you know. Or just, I think it's good to treat yourself well, you know. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be anything.
Right, it could be just about anything. You also, when they go to read your bio, there's one part there that says that you realize the intense emotional connection that most people have with material possessions, and that internal cluster must be addressed before external cluster can be addressed, or discarded, I should say. So
yeah.
When you're first talking with somebody, do you get an intuitive feeling kind of where they are with their emotions?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Because what I do is I walk through, I take a tour of their house with them, and I just get this sense, like, you know, where they're coming from. Because I assume anybody that hires me is overwhelmed in some way, you know. So I'm kind of like this psychic sleuth in some ways, you know, just listening to hear, like, where they're overwhelmed. Then they usually reveal it pretty quickly, you know, just by the words that they use and what they're talking about. And so I try to go in that direction of where they indicate the problem is. And I ask them questions about their life, too, you know, like what's important to them and what's going on, and to get them to open up. And a lot of times, you know, people are stuck in certain ways, and they think it has to stay that way, you know. And they get, it's kind of like they're driving through the snow or whatever, and their tires get stuck, and they keep, you know, revving the gas, and the wheels keep spinning. So this is a way of putting something under the tire, so to speak, to get things moving again. A different perspective.
Is there any particular age group that has a harder time with, you know, the clutter busting that you've noticed?
Particular age group? Not really. I think, you know, everybody's different. Like sometimes I think I was thinking sometimes if someone's been around for a while and they have a lot of stuff, sometimes it might be hard for them to let go. But then again, maybe they're just so frustrated with having the stuff and being stuck that they're ready to let go, too, you know. And I've worked with a lot of senior citizens that are either, you know, their kids have left home and so they're getting a smaller place, or maybe they're moving to assisted living or something like that. And you know, it's a transition in that sense. And it's almost like sometimes I think people feel that by letting these things go, that were once really important to them, that have so many memories attached to them, that their life is over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing more good is going to come to them. And by hanging on to these things, it keeps this kind of memory going of, you know, those old happy days or whatever they were. But I think it's a way of, you know, reducing one's level of enjoyment and reducing the amount of new things that could come into your life. So if someone's really stuck, I just encourage them to see that that there are really new things waiting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And these old things are on the way. And I think eventually they realize it after, you know, a few minutes of talking. They just go, okay.
Yeah, they probably go, do I really need this?
Yeah.
How often do you think somebody should do the clutter busting?
That depends, you know, whatever's comfortable. At least every 6 months, you know. And that doesn't mean you have to go through every item, but you could still, I know with my paperwork and my, in my filing cabinets, I try to go through that like every one or 2 months, you know, just so it doesn't pile up.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think like every 6 months is probably good.
Okay. And once somebody has you come out and help them with the clutter busting, do they call you back a second time?
Sometimes someone has me come for like a day and to get them started.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go on their own, and then they'll have me back again to keep them moving, you know, moving forward. And then sometimes someone will have me come and do a bunch, and then they'll have me back like a year later just for little things, you know. And every time I'm there, they learn more. So I think I'm helping them train their eye to see what's clutter and what's not, you know. But generally, nobody goes back to the old way, you know.
So that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, because once you really take a look at everything that you have, and again, not all at once, it's like piece by piece, like look at this, like do I like this anymore, you know? Is this important to me? And is this really a part of my life anymore? And once you've looked at everything that you have with that eye, then you get, it changes how you look at everything. And you really start to think like, well, what's really important to me, you know? And on a day-to-day basis, I think you can do that, you know, because sometimes we can go into a sleepwalking pattern, you know. We get overwhelmed. A lot of parts of us just shut down. So it's kind of making us take care of things that we can take care of now, and I think that's a real secret to life. Like, what can I do now in my life that I need to take care of?
Mm-hmm. One of the other people that I interviewed on one of my other shows, she did a haircut. She called it a feng shui haircut, and she said, as I was interviewing her, that a lot of times when somebody gets out of, especially a woman will get out of a relationship, they will cut their hair or change their hairstyle somehow.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that is probably true, you know, because they want to change, and they want to be, you know, they want to be newer, they want to be fresher. So I would think that, you know, they would want a haircut or a different color put on it or something, just anything to freshen them up.
Sure.
That's all with their emotions. So, I would think the same thing would happen if they have, you know, just a bunch of clutter all over. Anything to freshen them up would really make their energy skyrocket much better.
Yeah, you can. That's the great thing about clutter busting. You can only win by letting things go that are clutter. You can only win. And I'm very encouraging about this because it's something that you can do easily. You know, it doesn't require preparation or anything. Like you could be sitting there watching TV and you could go, oh, I'm going to do some clutter busting, and you turn off the TV and you can just walk over to an area, you know. It doesn't require anything except for some plastic bags to put trash in or to put recycling in or a charity, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the results are quick. They're immediate. You start to feel relief right away. And it gets people excited about life again. It's like that stagnant energy is gone. That's kind of, you know, once you have that hanging over your head, it's hard to think clearly or be inspired. So once that's gone, then you feel excited again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Excited and open and clear. And that's all anybody wants anyway, is like peace of mind.
Right.
Peace of mind and basic joy. And So this is a way of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Can you give out the name of your book one more time, please?
Sure. It's called Are You Buried in Clutter? The Definitive Guide to Clutter Busting.
And also your website, because we're almost out of time.
Sure, absolutely. It's clutterbusting.com, clutterbusting.com. And again, I really recommend people to look at it because there's a video section that has me clutterbusting people in action, and you'll really, like, I'm talking about it now, and there's concepts that, you know, that I'm bringing out and some examples that, you know, watching me in action, you get to see what I'm talking about. You get to see some people really let go of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very encouraging to see that, you know. And the book, like I said, has a bunch of stories of actual clutter busts, so you get an understanding of how other people have done it. And I talk about clutter, and it's encouraging in that way. And I give a lot of good little exercises that you can do to let go of clutter. And I really encourage everybody to look at this aspect of your life and to let this go, because it's universal. Everybody has clutter, and it's also universal that when people let go of clutter, they feel better. And that's the most important thing, is what can I do to feel better, you know, in a real natural way that's holistic, you know.
Yeah.
And allows an intuition and joy and compassion, you know, natural aspects that we already have in ourselves.
That's great. Well, we are out of time, Brooks. I would like to thank you for being on the show.
And, oh, I really appreciate it. It was great talking with you.
Oh, it was fun. We had some good stuff. And, of course, I'd like to thank you, the listeners. Thanks for listening. May God bless all of you. Take care. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Bye now.